Welcome to podcast recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many resources available for our online audience on our website at csoportland.org. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at csoportland.org. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living. For more information, visit csoportland.org.
Welcome to Portland Center for Spiritual Living. I'm Reverend Bridget McCann. My pronouns are she and her. I am the Senior Minister and Spiritual Director here at the Center, and I am so happy to see all of you. And welcome to those who join us in our virtual community space as well. You are a part of us. Somebody's waving at me. Hi, Harris. I'll wave at those online too. Well, now I've got everybody waving. Hi, everybody. And we got some wanting to dance. Oh, the joy. Thank you. And that goes with what we're talking about. You know, we live in an abundant universe, right? Catherine, without having seen my notes on today's talk, like basically gave you my talk already in her prayer. But I'm going to give it to you again with a few more words. But we do indeed live in an abundant universe, right? Everywhere we look in nature, we see this. There is unlimited beauty, unlimited peace, unlimited diversity of life that just kind of blows my mind. When we go to the ocean, we see waves and tides that just go on and on and on. It never ends. When we look to the cosmos, we see trillions and trillions of stars and galaxies and planets. And I believe there must be life out there somewhere. Other life forms, just as diverse as they are here on this planet. And then we look at our own life experience, right, in those qualities and those experiences that we share with other people. Kindness, compassion, and love. And the miracle is, no matter how much of those we give away, there's always more. We, as a center for spiritual living, we have as one of our declarations of principle this. We believe in the eternal goodness, the eternal loving kindness, and the eternal givingness of life to all. And our founder, Ernest Holmes, wrote, "I look at the lavish wastefulness of nature and know that God intended me to be abundantly supplied with everything that makes for beauty, well-being, and happiness." So that is the nature of the universe, and yet we experience limitations in our lives of various sorts. Some of you today may be feeling some sort of limitation in some area of your life. Maybe it's financial resources, career opportunities, creative expression, friendship, even the experience of joy. And how is it that we experience these limitations while living in such an incredibly abundant universe? Well, first, a few things that this is not. It is not God withholding itself. It is not God punishing us. It is not God playing favorites. And it is not God answering some prayers, but not the prayers of others. It's none of that, because God doesn't play that way. Instead, what it is blocks that we put in our consciousness, or blocks that are embedded in our consciousness. This process starts almost immediately after birth, unfortunately, because we do not come into the world with these blocks, but they are created. Now, some of them we create ourselves, and some other people like to create for us and put into our consciousness. It starts when we're very young and we hear all these messages about limitations and lack and scarcity and unworthiness and all that. Fill in the blank there. Right? But we keep hearing these messages over and over and over until they get embedded in our psyches, until we unfortunately start believing them. And this creates blocks or flows or dams in that flow of goodness that is the natural order of the universe. Now, this is mostly an unconscious process, okay? We're not doing this deliberately, so no shame, no guilt, no blame, just an awareness that this probably happened. And the good news is we get to undo it. But first, let's look at what some of these blocks are. Some of them may resonate with you. Some of them may not. That's up for you to decide. But one block is a sense of unworthiness. I am not worthy of prosperity in any form, which can lead to self-sabotage. Self-sabotage and those things we say we're doing to bring about more prosperity of any sort, but we sabotage our own efforts because we believe we don't really deserve it. Another block is the belief that life is a zero-sum game. This is the belief that life is pie, or that goodness is a pie, right? The more one person gets, the less there is for somebody else, or one person's gain is another person's loss. This leads to feelings of guilt sometimes about our own prosperity. It can lead to feelings of jealousy about other people's prosperity, and it can lead to competition instead of cooperation, which really limits everybody's good. Another block is fear. Fear of loss. So we hoard what we have. Fear of success because it might change our life. And fear of failure, which can lead to procrastination and putting things off, right? Avoidance. Procrastination and avoidance around the things that if we did them, could bring more prosperity into our lives, but we're afraid. Another block, lack of gratitude for what we already have. You know, when we're not grateful for what we have, it means we're focused on lack. And if we're focused on lack, we cannot at the same time be focused on prosperity. Comparing ourselves to others, this is a block. We get jealous of other people. We feel inadequate. We're focused on other people so much and all the good things they have in their life that we don't have time or mental space or heart to focus on our own success, our own progress. And then there are just the general limiting beliefs about prosperity. These are many of the things we hear as children. Prosperity is bad for you. It will somehow corrupt your character. There's not enough to go around. Prosperity is for some people, but not everybody. There are the haves and have-nots, and there will always have the have-nots, and most of us are the have-nots. There's also this idea that it's selfish to be prosperous. And there's just not enough. Not only is prosperity a pie, but it's a really small pie. There's not enough to go around. And perhaps one of the biggest blocks that gets stuck in our consciousness is false beliefs about God and the nature of the universe and how it works. The false idea that we have to earn God's love and earn its givingness. It's not true. We are taught, if we pay attention to many spiritual traditions, that it is God's good pleasure to give to us. The second false belief many of us have is that we are to suffer in this life so we can have our reward in the afterlife. that if I suffer, the more I suffer now, the bigger my reward later. When the truth is, again, from many faith traditions that teach that heaven, the experience of heaven, the kingdom of God is here now and it is within us. We don't have to wait for our good, and we sure as heck don't have to suffer to be worthy of it. So these are the blocks. Now how do we remove them? That's what we really want to know. So we can experience more of that prosperity, more expansiveness. Well, we're going to turn to Jesus for a little lesson here. Jesus being one of the many great teachers humanity has been blessed with through the ages. He says, or is recorded to have said in the Gospel of Matthew, "For to him who has shall be given, and it shall increase to him. But to him who has not, even that which he has shall be taken away from him." Now, if you just look at that and nothing else, you think, wow, this is a pretty cruel system. This is another one of those messages we've heard time and time again, right? The rich get richer and the poor get poorer. That's not what Jesus is teaching. The man had way too much love in him to teach a cruel system like that. If we really want to know what Jesus was teaching, we have to look at the context of that statement and remember that Jesus was always talking about consciousness. He was always using parables and metaphors. So Jesus makes this statement right after sharing with his disciples the parable of the sower. This is about the farmer casting their seeds on different types of soil. For the farmer who spreads the seed on soil that has not been worked with, it's full of rocks and weeds, it's shallow, it's infertile, there's going to be a small harvest. But the farmer who casts their seeds on soil that they've taken time to work with, they've cleared the weeds, they've cleared the rocks, it's deep, rich soil. This is a farmer who reaps abundance, a rich harvest, right? So if you look at that, and then immediately after, Jesus says to he who has shall have more, and he who does not shall have less. And you know that Jesus is always talking about consciousness. What we realize is that when we have a poor soil of scarcity consciousness, not only will we have little, but we may very well lose what we have. But if we have a rich, fertile soil of prosperity consciousness, we will have even more. We will be more abundantly blessed. If we believe we have little, we will have little. If we believe we have much, we will have even more. So we remove the blocks to prosperity by transforming our consciousness. Now, when I say consciousness, I mean the sum total of our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. Thomas Troward, one of the early New Thought leaders, wrote, "Belief in limitation is the one and only thing that causes limitation, because we thus impress limitation upon the creative principle. And in proportion as we lay that belief aside, our boundaries will expand, and increasing life and more abundant blessing will be ours." The creative principle Troward is speaking of is the spiritual creative law of the universe. And it being a law, unlike our human-made laws, that's a whole other talk for another day. Don't get me started on that. For those of you who don't know, I was a lawyer for many years. So I have a lot to say about how imperfect our human laws are. But God's laws are perfect. And what this creative law means is it does not discriminate. Whatever we give it, it will respond to. That law responds by corresponding to the sum total of our thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs. It takes what we give it, and it makes it so. In other words, we reap what we sow. If we think and believe there's more than enough, no. If we think and believe prosperity is hard to come by, we're right. If we think and believe we're not worthy, we're right. If we think and believe there isn't enough, we're right. But the opposite is also true. We could choose to give different thoughts, attitudes, and beliefs to the law. If we think and believe that there's more than enough, we're right. If we think and believe we are worthy of good, prosperous lives, we are right. If we think and believe prosperity and abundance is just what God does, we are right. Now, I want to clarify one thing. When we change our consciousness, we are not changing the universe. We are not changing nature. We are not changing God. What we are changing is our experience of it. God in the universe is already abundant. God already loves us. God already wants to give us a good, rich life. And by rich, I mean rich in all the ways. Okay? When we change our consciousness, we change how we interact with it. It's like the difference between a closed fist and an open hand, right? If the flow of good comes up against a closed fist, it cannot receive much. A little bit might leak in there, a little bit here and there. But an open hand, that's a changed consciousness that's able to receive more. Now, this change in consciousness is not easy, and it's not quick. After all, these barriers took years to develop and embed in our consciousness. We should not expect that they will dissolve overnight. Which leads me to this. Building Prosperity Consciousness, a 40-day plan. I invite all of us to embark on this 40-day journey of transforming our consciousness on behalf of ourselves and on behalf of this community. You know, we as individuals and we in the collective have dreams, intentions. Changing our consciousness will help us achieve them. So this 40-day plan is intended to help us transform our consciousness. Why 40 days? For one, like I said, transformation takes time. And specifically 40, because 40 is a number that we see over and over in consciousness work and in transformational work across faith traditions. Consider all of these. Moses spent 40 days on Mount Sinai when he received the commandments and the laws. And by the way, there are a lot more laws than the 10 we always hear about. He received a host of laws that were meant to help the Israelites who had just escaped slavery in Egypt. These laws were meant to help the Israelites set up a society that was much kinder and more just for everyone. Also consider in the same Exodus story that the Israelites, after having escaped slavery, spent 40 years in the desert before they were delivered to the promised land. Why 40 years? Because it would take 40 years for a new generation to be born and raised with the consciousness of freedom. Jesus spent 40 days by himself in the desert, fasting and praying after his baptism and before he embarked on his ministry. He spent 40 days preparing his consciousness for this radical shift in his life. In Hinduism, many of the prayers have 40 stanzas, and the fasting rituals last 40 days. In Buddhism, the path of purification has 40 subjects on which people are to meditate to transform their lives. And lastly, the human gestation period is 40 weeks. It takes 40 weeks to create a new life. So that's why 40 days. Now, this plan involves working with various affirmations, contemplating them, and then journaling on your insights. This is available printed out in the back of the sanctuary. There are copies. You can take one on your way home today. It's also available online at cslportland.org. It's free. It's for all of us to do. And I want us to do it together at the same time, starting tomorrow. Me, our board members, and our practitioners have already committed to doing this for the next 40 days, starting tomorrow. So I invite you to do this with us. And to give you a little taste of what's in here, I shared two of the affirmations. God is lavish, unfailing abundance, the rich, omnipresent substance of the universe. This all-providing source of infinite prosperity is individualized as me. It is the reality of me. Another one. I keep my mind and thoughts off this world, and I place my entire focus on God within as the only cause of my prosperity. I acknowledge the inner presence as the only activity in my affairs, as the substance of all things visible. I place my faith in the principle of abundance in action within me. So I invite you to invest in your own prosperity, to invest in this community's prosperity, and we begin tomorrow. Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith said, "The truth is that there's more than enough good to go around. There are more than enough creative ideas. There is more than enough power. There is enough for everyone. If you believe it, if you can see it, if you can act from it, it will show up for you. That's the truth. So let's build our prosperity consciousness together with our time, with our hearts, with our commitment, so we can see it and feel it and believe it. We'll do this together. You are worthy. We are worthy." And to steal from the great Reverend Dr. Michael Beckwith, that's the truth. All right. As many of you know, this is a time when we go into prayer, and typically I say a prayer related to the talk, but today I want to address what's going on in our city. Portland's been in the news a lot lately. And I imagine many of you saw the news overnight about the protest and the violence. And I quite accidentally stumbled into that protest yesterday. I went out for a bike ride, and I chose a route that I very seldom take. Up until that time, I had no idea where this ICE facility is that I keep hearing about. But my route yesterday took me right by it. And I arrived in the afternoon just as what you saw in the news was beginning. And so I stopped and was a witness to that. And what I saw shocked my conscience and made me deeply sad. And as I left, I happened to walk a kind of a different, rolling my bike along. I took a different path out of that space, and I saw four people sitting on the curb. While all this chaos was going around them, they were obviously in prayer and meditation. So that's my inspiration for this prayer today. Knowing peace for everyone involved in that situation. Everyone, the protesters, the police officers, the ICE officials, anybody who may have been in that building, anybody affected by it, the protesters and the counter-protesters, we want to know peace for all of them. And as I got home last night, I was reflecting on this more, and this came to me, that we show up in peace, as peace and for peace. And what I mean by that, we show up in peace as an animosity towards no one. As peace, holding a peace consciousness. And for peace, meaning peace for everyone. Those protesters, those police officers, those detained, they have people who love them. And they have lives. And all of them deserve peace. So that is going to be our prayer today. And I invite you, if you would like, to stand and join me in this prayer. We take a stand as peace. Because peace is the divine quality at work here. That peace is always there. It is the very essence of God, along with love and wisdom and compassion and abundance. Today we show up knowing that we are expressions of that one life. And being expressions of that one life, we show up in peace, animosity towards none. We show up as peace, knowing the truth of peace for all involved. And we show up for peace for everyone. And now, we'll just take a moment of silence, and I invite everyone within the sound of my voice, in your own hearts, and in your way, and with your words, say a prayer of peace. We stand for peace. We stand for peace. We stand for peace. We see it. We feel it. We believe it. We let it be. And so it is. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.